Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we explore on this show. I share different ideas, I tell stories, I share some of the mistakes I've made along the way, because I know that ultimately teachers are the most vital element when it comes to student voice and choice. And before we get started, I just want to say that I have a book, Empowered at a Distance, that's going to be coming out within the next few weeks. So go check it out. I'm aiming for, you know, sometime in early October as being, you know, the release time. There's no official release date yet, but it's all about this topic of how we empower students anywhere at any time. And one of the things that I want to talk about is this idea of practical strategies. And one of my favorite practical strategies is this notion of a scavenger hunt. So let's go ahead and dive right in. When we hear the terms virtual learning or remote learning, it's easy to imagine students spending 8 hours a day in front of a screen. However, as educators, we know that this approach isn't really developmentally appropriate. Children need to move around and interact with their physical world. They need to explore new learning in a way that's hands-on and tactile. And this is why we need to craft virtual lessons that take students off screen and get them moving and making. Teachers all around the world have been incorporating movement into virtual and online spaces, and one of the ways that they're doing it is through scavenger hunts. Now, I love how flexible the scavenger hunts can be. You might design a simple scavenger hunt around a child's home, or you can design a more complex and elaborate scavenger hunt within the larger community. A scavenger hunt can be something where kindergartners are discovering shapes in their world, or they're looking for environmental texts. But it's also something where a high school senior can do a scavenger hunt as a broader ethnographic study of the systems and structures and cultures within their community. It is incredibly dynamic. A scavenger hunt is pretty much what it sounds like. Teachers give specific clues or items that they find that students then find in their homes or around the larger community. This works well as a video conference activity, but it can also work as a series of photos that students take and upload to a shared file. The students can work in teams using the breakout function, or they can work on it independently. And here's what it looks like in different subjects. So let's say you want to do a math scavenger hunt. Students find specific items in their home that connect to core math concepts. And I really think that it's a chance to show math concepts more so than math skills, right? So this is not where you do math practice. It's where you show conceptual understanding. They might even measure certain items and report it back to the group. I've seen a simple second grade geometry class where students had to find various shapes in their environment and use that as evidence in a video chat. But it can also be done in something more advanced, like it's a way students could practice proportional reasoning, or it could be something where they prove the Pythagorean theorem. The idea is to get them doing something hands-on and tactile in math in a way that's connected to a challenge. Second idea is a maker scavenger hunt. Now, this is not in any core subject area. I kind of think of this as being STEM related, but you can do it anywhere. And what happens is students get a list of specific items, and not so much items, but it's more like ideas of items. So it might be something soft, something elastic, something round, you get the idea. And after they've found those items, they get a set amount of time to create something new with those items. We're going to take a deeper dive into that in just a moment. You could do a science scavenger hunt as well. When students are learning about natural environments, they might use their phones to take snapshots of different biomes and environments in their neighborhood. I've seen teachers go as advanced as you know, having students engaged in, you know, birder or birding activities with key coordinates and pictures or using this process for astronomy or meteorology, but it can also be something simpler like finding predators and prey that they see in their environment. There's the history hunt. Students can do a walk around their city and find elements of culture or find identifiers of history. And this is the chance for them to engage in questions about, you know, who gets the naming rights in a city. You know, who do we honor and who do we fail to honor? And it's a chance to really, I guess, engage in some of those more contentious areas of history around the questions of representation. There's the language arts scavenger hunt. At a younger age, like I alluded to before, students might explore environmental texts. They can search for sight words on something like a cereal box, or they might take a picture of that word and upload it to the LMS, or a teacher might give them the challenge to do something like, you know, find as many words as you can that end with a silent E. With older grades, students might do thematic or genre-related scavenger hunts that connect to the larger community. There's a lot of different ways that they can engage with this. A PE scavenger hunt, the goal is really to get students moving and to focus on that movement. So students might have a set of challenges and they have to hop to certain items, or they have to do a series of jumping jacks or push-ups on certain items. And then they record those movements as their evidence. And they can do that with their phone and then, you know, upload that to their LMS. Or, you know, in some cases, they might be able to, you know, show it to teachers via something like Flipgrid. There are the music scavenger hunts. Students can explore certain types of music in their environment. They'd have to find examples that they could hear. This one's a bit of a challenge, and it works best for, you know, older students, especially those who want to look at maybe certain genres or certain chord progressions. But a simpler version might just involve having students at a younger age finding something that can create a percussion or something that creates a string sound. And in this way, they're doing a scavenger hunt, but they're also sort of making instruments of their own. Now, there are a couple of different ways that you can structure your scavenger hunt in terms of the modality or the learning environment. It could be synchronous or asynchronous. And it could also be blended or hybrid. So synchronous is, of course, happening in the moment in real time. And with this model, you would typically begin with a class video chat using your preferred video conferencing platform. It could be Zoom, Google Meets, Microsoft Teams, you get the idea. And you share the scavenger hunt directions and the parameters ahead of time. This is also when you might remind students of norms and procedures. For example, students can leave their computer, but they can't carry their laptops around with them, right? Or maybe you are going to require all students to let their family members know that they're going to be doing a scavenger hunt so that you respect their privacy. You might place students in small groups and use something like the breakout room function and allow them to interact with each other. So they could be like finding an item, they have to run to their team and say found it, run to their team and say found it, you get the idea. So that would be the synchronous version. And often this one has time deadlines, you might do a competition connecting to it. You try to make it as engaging as possible. For this asynchronous option, you'll typically post the scavenger hunt directions on the class LMS. That could be, you know, Google Classroom or Canvas or whatever you're using. And you might give them a longer time deadline. So, you know, not an hour or 20 minutes, but an entire week. They might, you know, have a week to find a list of 12 different items. In some cases, you could make it a contest, right? And you could post the winners in real time as they complete it first. Or you could make the contest more qualitative, right? So who can find the best example of these 10 items? However, you might also want to just avoid the competition and instead focus on mutual sharing of items in a group. And this is especially true when they're doing, say, a photo walk in an art class or a photojournalism class, or obviously a photography class. The third option is hybrid. In a hybrid environment, you might have students working at home and in school on a shared scavenger hunt. Now, this can get chaotic. This can sometimes have some bad echoes. It's going to be a mess. I'll just warn you. It will be a mess, even with headphones. But it can be highly engaging, and it can sort of function like a team builder for students who are at home and in person who aren't getting quite as many opportunities to interact as we would hope. Students in school might, you know, decode a set of clues or do a puzzle. They might do that with the students at home and then relay it to their classmates who are at home. And then, you know, the classmates who are at home have to find those specific items, you know, in their physical environment as well. And so you're really trying to bring together the classroom space, the home space, all together into these groups. Now, I want to point out that it's critical that we keep equity in mind as we design these scavenger hunts. If students need to find items at home, we should really make sure that these are very common items. We should not punish kids for not having the items. And we should really consider categories that are broad. You know, it's the idea of something flat, something blue, that kind of idea. This allows every student to participate without depending on economic privilege. And that's something, you know, I would also add, you know, it's why I don't like having students use food items in a scavenger hunt that becomes a maker project, because, you know, food might be scarce and we have to recognize that. The following is an example of a divergent thinking scavenger hunt. In a video conference, you provide students with a divergent thinking prompt. One option is to create a scavenger hunt in which students find something, you know, fuzzy, something large, something small, or they might find something sticky, something round, something flat. You get the idea. So that's the very first part. That's step one. Step two is that after finding these items, they can then brainstorm all the things that they can make with those items. This brainstorming phase is often very hands-on. Students might work individually or in breakout rooms in the video chat. And their brainstorms might be in the form of a list or in a web. It doesn't really matter. Step three is where students analyze their ideas, combine the ones that seem similar, and scratch out any of the ones they want to abandon. They might also mash up unrelated ideas. It's a chance to be thinking divergently and connectively at the same time. Step four is when they choose that one main idea from the list and create a product with it. You might provide a specific time constraint to push their divergent thinking even more, and I love doing that. And you might give them an even tighter parameter, like you have to create a toy or you have to create a game with it. Step six is where students create a video demonstrating how their product works and an explanation of their ideal audience. And I love using Flipgrid because they can leave comments for one another. It's easy to grade. I'm just a fan of that particular tool. I promise I'm not getting paid. They are not a sponsor or anything. I happen to really like using Flipgrid. So anyway, the bottom line is that scavenger hunts are very flexible in their design. They're a way that is tactile and hands-on and gets students motivated and excited about the learning. It helps students see a connection, a natural concrete connection between, you know, the abstract concepts they're learning and their physical reality. And that's part of what I love about using them. So go check it out. Try a scavenger hunt and see how it works for you. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy it, would you consider leaving a comment on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever it is that you get your podcasts? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.